Welcome to the Calvary Chapel Naples Weekly Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll be blessed by this week's message from Pastor Aaron Lapp. For more information about this podcast and other Calvary Chapel Naples resources, please visit us at ccnaples.org.
Well, good morning. If this is your first time here at Calvary Chapel Naples, we're glad you're here. If you haven't been here in a while, but you're back now, I'm looking for the Rosses. Welcome back. We're great. We're so glad to have you guys back. Sometimes, you know, you think you got this all figured out, and then God wakes you up at 5:15 in the morning and says, you know what, add this. And, you know, I want to be obedient. So let's see how this works. I have this little ornament. Can you see that? It's a little panda bear. 14 years ago, my wife and I went over to China to adopt our daughter. While we were there, they took us on a tour of a bunch of things, places. One of them was the factory where they make little things like this. And some are small and some are big. And the bigger ones are very, you know, expensive. But the process was very neat. If you could see, it's very colorful and shiny, and it looks kind of glassy. But actually how they make this is they take this little form, and they use wire to form all these different shapes. And then they fill those shapes in with different colored sand, right? And then once it's all filled in, they put it into a very hot oven. And then it turns all glassy like this. And then you get this neat little ornament right here, which is great. God got a hold of me and said, I want you to go and dig through all of your Christmas decorations and find this little ornament and bring it in. Because he wanted me to talk to you about this. Until this little guy goes into the oven and gets heated up, he never becomes what he was intended to be, this beautiful, shiny little panda bear ornament. And so as we're walking through our lives, and we've talked about this, and you sometimes face obstacles and tribulation, and sometimes you feel like your life is just, you're in the oven, God would say, don't worry. Sometimes you have to go in the oven, in the heat, to become what it is that I've intended you to be. And we're going to talk about worry today. Not because I want to, but because it's in here and we have to. So go ahead and turn over in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible with you today, we've got some Bibles here. Cesar and Tony, if you just put up your hand, if you need a Bible, they'll put a Bible right in. If you don't have a Bible, take this one home and make this your Bible. We'd love for you to take this Bible home with you. Open it up. This is God's word. This isn't just ink on paper. This is God's powerful word. This is how he speaks to us. Luke chapter 12, go ahead and turn over there. And before we get started, we're going to pray. So pray with me, please. Father God, we just, at this moment, quiet our hearts. Prepare ourselves to hear what it is that you have for us today, Lord. I pray that you would take this opportunity to speak to us, each one of us, the words that we need to hear from you, Lord. How you'd like to encourage us, how you'd like to challenge us, Lord. Please let that sink in. Open up our ears so that we do have ears to hear this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, last week we talked about, well, a bunch of things. One of the things that stands out in my mind was the story that he told these two brothers. See, Jesus is now, he's talking to this big group of people. Remember, it was a multitude of people, so many people that they were tripping over each other. There were so many. And I said, it's like when we say, there are like a million people there. There's a lot of people, and they're all there. And Jesus is sharing some really cool concepts with them. And finally, this one guy stands up and he says, teacher, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me. And Jesus says, oh, man. That's what it says. He goes, look, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to give you some wisdom, and then you decide based on that wisdom what you are supposed to do. But then he turns back to his disciples, and he says, beware of covetousness. And covetousness, that's a Bible word. It means don't be greedy. It's greed. Don't want what somebody else has. Or greed, actually, the better definition of greed is wanting more of what you already have enough of. Greed is wanting more of what you already have enough of. And then he illustrates this point through this parable, and he says there was this rich farmer. Catch that now. He says, there's a rich farmer. One year, he finds himself with more crops than he thought he would have. He's blessed abundantly with more than what he had before. In fact, more than what he needed, because up until this point, he had everything he needed because he was considered rich. But he looks at everything that he's now got, and he says, what should I do? What should I do? I know. I'll tear down the barns that I have that fit everything that I need, and I'll build bigger barns to fit everything that I now have. So then I'll have more of what I had enough of before. And he's consumed with this, prepping for the future. Now, see, you might think, well, if he just had more, if I had more, I'd be all okay. If I had a little bit more, I'd be all okay. I wouldn't have any problems. I wouldn't be stressed. I wouldn't be worried anymore. But if you look at the story, you realize that this guy getting this abundance of crops, it didn't give him less things to worry about. It actually added new things to worry about. He didn't have to worry about tearing down a barn and rebuilding a barn before he had this increase. But now he's like, oh, now what am I going to do? So now he has new things to worry about. Sometimes we think, well, if I just had that, if I got that promotion, if I was the manager, I'd be making more money, I'd be making all the decisions. I could tell you, do you know what comes along with that? More responsibility, more time, more stress, maybe. So be careful. This farmer here, he was okay before. In fact, he was doing well before. Now he gets all this new stuff and he has new problems to worry about. You see, what he was doing was putting all of this preparation into preparing for his future. But God comes along and he says, you fool. Your soul is required of you tonight. And now, who's going to get everything that you put all of this work into? See, he was preparing for his future. He didn't prepare at all for the one who holds the future in his hands. Right?
This is good.
He says to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for no one's life consists in the abundance of the things he possesses. If you're looking at your life and going, well, I got a lot of stuff, that's the measure of a man. And I would say, well, not according to the Bible, because it could all be gone. You could be gone tomorrow, this afternoon. So he says, in verse 22, that's where we're going to pick up. He says to his disciples, therefore, I say to you, do not worry. And it goes on, but I'm going to stop there for a second. Do not worry, he says. He looks at his disciples after he's talked to them about all of this. He says, do not worry. It's an interesting word there, worry. In Greek, it means be anxious for. Don't be anxious. But if you want to go further, it means if you're worried or anxious, it means that you're divided. And what does that mean? You're divided. Well, I think it means that, well, I'm divided between what I know God is telling me to do and what I am being pulled towards. Like, I don't want to be greedy. I'm not greedy. I'm just, you know, I'm worried a little. Well, here's the deal. If greed is wanting more, worried is being afraid you don't have enough. So they're really closely related. Greed is, I need more. Worry is, I'm afraid I don't have enough. God says, Jesus says, don't worry. Worry causes stress. Has anybody ever been stressed? Do you know stress is bad for you? It's not good for your body. It actually stress. Have you heard this before? Have you heard this message before? Did I give this already? Stress does something to your brain, which causes you to not be able to deal with stress. So the more stressed you get, the less you're able to cope with it. And so then you start getting stressed. It's like, oh, I'm stressed. How am I going to deal with the stress? And that stress causes you to be able to not handle even the amount of stress that you had before. And you end up on this downward stress escalator until soon you're like this. I can't believe I'm so stressed out. And you can't handle it because you're so stressed and your brain doesn't know what to do. And then you start thinking, I hope nobody sees me this stressed out. I better put on a facade to let people know that everything is all right, while on the inside, I'm stressed out. See, we dealt with that last week, didn't we? Jesus says, don't worry, don't be stressed. And you're sitting there, I know, because I would say the same thing. That's easy for you to say. You don't know the intimate details of my life. You're right. I don't. I'm also not the one telling you not to worry. I'm just reading what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't worry. I don't know the intimate details of your life, but he does, doesn't he? Jesus knows the intimate details of your life. He says, I know every hair on your head. They're all numbered. I knew you before I created any of this. I know you. So I'm saying, don't worry. He says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, nor the body, what you will put on it. Life is more than food. Life is more than food, Terry. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Don't worry, he says. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? So, you know, Jesus is outside, and he's talking to everybody, and he's like, look, consider the ravens. There's probably a bunch of them sitting over here. He says, they don't sow or reap, and yet they still eat, don't they? Birds don't worry, he's saying. Birds don't worry. How would I know if a bird worries or not? Do you know whether a bird worries or not? I mean, do you see they're all jittery and their feathers are falling out? I don't know. I don't know whether birds worry, but I can believe that he's saying to me, they don't worry. Jesus says, the birds don't worry. So do I think birds worry or not? Well, I think they don't. You know, there's a saying that says the early bird gets the worm, right? That's because birds don't worry, but they do work, right? You don't see a whole line of birds just sitting like, waiting for God to drop food into their mouths from up above. They work. The early bird gets the worm, it says. But you think the early bird is, you know, the bird's there the night before going, oh man, Terry's going to get up at 4:00. I'm setting my alarm for 3:45. And then he worries all night. Is it going to go off? Did I set it for a.m. or p.m.? I don't think birds do that. Jesus says, the birds don't worry. I provide for them. And he says, how much more do I care for you than for the ravens? Remember, he said, the sparrows, you know, they're a dime a dozen. But I still love them. I still know them. But I love you more than the sparrows. The ravens, I take care of the ravens. They don't have to worry that I'm going to feed them. They just eat. But just like the birds, we can't just go up on a mountaintop sitting crisscross applesauce and wait and be like, okay, God, provide for everything. I think God says, okay, but I'd like you to, you know, go out, do your diligence, work, but don't worry. don't worry is, you have to understand, Jesus is saying, don't worry. He's not saying, well, why don't you try? I suggest maybe you don't worry so much. He's saying, don't do it. It's a loving commandment. He's saying, don't worry. You know, birds are very interesting. He talks about birds a lot. And he says, you know, I care for the birds, but I care for you more. He has made birds in such a way, this is how birds work. Tony and I were talking about this. No, Tony, the other Tony, and I were talking about this. The green heron, you know that bird that's, maybe you've seen it around. He fishes with bait. He'll go and he'll get a bug and he'll drop it in the water and then he'll wait for a fish to come and eat that bug and then he'll nab the bug. And if he can't find a bug, he goes and he gets bread out of the garbage and he'll drop it in the water. And he actually loves that, he told me, because the bread breaks up and spreads out and then more fish will come and then he just starts. But you know what the ravens do? They come and sit behind the herons and wait and let them do the work. Yeah, and then they come up and they eat it. And the snowy white egret, you ever see those like white birds with black legs and yellow feet? He dangles his toe in the water and wiggles it around. And so the fish thinks it's a worm. And then when he comes up, he grabs it. So they work. Birds work. They don't worry. That's right. He says, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? He says, growing just happens. You're pretty tall. How much did you have to do with that? Yeah, see? It just happens when you grow. Growing happens. It's the easiest thing in your body. It just does it. He's saying, how many of you, because of worrying, were able to grow an inch more? And yet growing is the easiest thing that your body does. He says, how much more? Look at that. He says, if you then are unable to do the least of these things because of your worry, then rest. Worrying is not going to cause you to grow. And yet that's the easiest thing that your body can do. If you can't even do the easiest thing that your body does by worrying, then don't worry. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Unless I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like these. If then God clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much will he clothe you, O you of little faith. He says, look at the flowers. Look how beautiful they are. They don't spin. They don't make their own clothes. They don't worry. God made them that way. He made them beautiful. If he cares about something like flowers, which grow up today and then tomorrow die and they're cut down and thrown in the fire, if he cares for those, how much more does he care for you? How much more, he's saying, will I take care of you? Don't worry. There was a guy, used to be so worried. Walked around all the time, just always thinking about, I was worried about the future, worried about today, worried about my job, worried about everything. Everyone who knew them knew that this guy was worried and he didn't look good and he was skinny and he didn't sleep at night because he was always worried. But one day, his friends saw him and he was actually looking a lot better. And he says, what? You look great. What are you doing? And he says, oh, I don't worry anymore. I hired a guy to worry for me. So now instead of me worrying about all this stuff, it's his job to worry about all this stuff for me. And his friend says, well, who on earth would do that? And he says, well, I pay him $100,000 a year. His friend goes, you only make $50,000 a year. And he goes, well, that's his problem to worry about. He doesn't worry. So you would see what Jesus says there. Oh, you of little faith. He's saying, you're worrying. You're obsessed with worrying. You're obsessed. You're worried that you're not going to have enough, even though I go out of my way to show you how much I care for you. Even though I tell you that I will take care of you, and you can see it and you can read it, but you have to believe it. You have to believe that he says, I will take care of you. I take care of the birds. I take care of the grass. And you are so much more valuable to me than they are. I will take care of you. But you have to believe it. Because he says, oh, you of little faith, if you're consumed with anxiety, if you're consumed with stress, if you're consumed with worries, Jesus would say, where is your faith? If you are worrying in the same way that the rest of the unbelieving world is worried, then what makes you different than them? When they look at you and they look at themselves and say, well, we're all worried about the same thing. Do they see the light of Christ that is supposed to be filling you up that we looked at says cannot be contained? It's shining out all around. Worry. In 29, he says, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have any anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. In fact, the word seek there, it says, be seeking the kingdom of God. And all of these things. Well, what things? And it says, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things, what you should eat and what you should drink. He says, you don't have to seek after these things. You don't have to be worried like the world is worried. But seek the kingdom. Be seeking the kingdom. So here's the thing. This is what I always thought. Maybe you're with me on this. I'll list the priorities in my life. God, because I'm a good Christian, God's right at the top of that list. Then it's my wife, then it's my kids, then it's the church and family and so on, all the way down the list, making a priority list. Right? You with me? Wrong. God says, I don't want to be in competition with all of your other priorities. When he says seek first, it means that all of you have all sorts of different lists. And he's at the top of every single one of them. So when he says, be seeking the kingdom of heaven, it's like this. Okay, how am I seeking God in my relationship with my wife? How am I seeking God in my pursuit of a career? How am I seeking God in how I deal with my friends? How am I seeking God in how I drive to work in the morning? How am I seeking God in everything that I do? I'm not making a list where God's at the top and it goes down alone, because at some point he goes like this, based on whatever I'm experiencing. Rather, it is, how is God at the top of every one of my priorities? How am I seeking God in every priority that I have? When you can do that, he says, all these things will be given to you. That's when you can say, well, I'm seeking God, not the approval of man. So then I have to worry about what this person thinks of what I've just said or done. Right? I'm seeking God in how I have this interaction with my wife. Well, then, you know what? I'm going to be godly towards her, not fleshly towards her. How am I seeking God when I go to work or when I interact with my family at a holiday meal and they're not believers? How am I seeking God in every one of those situations? Rather than saying, okay, I'm seeking God, check, now I can do all these other things. But rather seek God in all of those areas, in everything that you do. Be seeking the kingdom of God, he says, and all of these things shall be added to you. Okay, so it feels a little bit like, at this point, Jesus just saying, don't worry. Do you ever come up against someone who's just really worked up, really mad, and you say, calm down? How many times does that actually work? Hey, calm down. They don't calm down. They don't tell me to calm down. You calm down. And that doesn't even make sense anyway, because I was already calm to start with. It feels a little bit like Jesus saying, don't worry, just don't do it. I'm just telling you, don't worry. Except for here, he comes in and he says, do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is the only place that we see him use this word, little flock, but it's significant right here. Because he's telling you something that this is what I'm telling you, you have to not do anymore. And it's going to be so good for you. But I get it. And he addresses them as little flock. Do you know what that means? What does a flock have? A shepherd. A flock has a shepherd. The shepherd is there to care for, to take care of, to provide for the flock. And so he's addressing them and he's addressing us and he's saying, little flock, I am your shepherd. You're not out there on your own. It's not like I'm telling you to go out and accomplish this all on your own. I'm there for you. I'm there with you. I'm there to provide for you, to protect you, and to give you the things that you need. You're not on your own. In fact, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give us the kingdom. We're not trying to pry it out of his hands, like, give me the kingdom. And then we're pulling against God, and God's saying, no. He's like, I want to give this to you. It is my desire to give this to you. He says in 33, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. That whole little section right there, he's saying like this. He's almost making a reference to the rich farmer by saying, don't put all of your worth into stuff that people could take or that gets broken. Because it's going to drive you crazy. Deirdre came home from the supermarket yesterday, and as I was walking by her car, I noticed that somebody had opened their door into the side of her car. It's like a... I didn't tell her yet. I don't know if she's noticed it, so she's going to hear this and be like, what? It chipped the paint on the car. And as I walked out, I was like, oh. Man, I walked around for like half an hour thinking I got to get paint, and what if it gets rusty? And I was so mad, and I had already begun to read this stuff, and God was like, hello? So I was mad and stressed. I was stressed out thinking, where am I going to get the paint? And I was driving around. I was like, do they have it here? Do I have to order it? Is it going to match? I mean, it's black. How different could it be? But, and then I was just like, I am putting way too much value on this. Way too much value on this car. And so I just let it go. You know how freeing that is? You know what? It's still there. It didn't magically disappear. God didn't come and go like that. That would have been cool, but he didn't do that. It's still there. I still have to deal with it, but I'm not stressed out about it. I'm not worried about it. I just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. John Wesley said, when it comes to money, earn as much as you can, save as much as you can, give as much as you can. I love that because you know what that means? It's like, you know, earn, save, but give. When he says give as much as you can, it's with the same energy and intensity as earn and save. You know, if you're sitting there, and when he says, sell everything you have and give to alms, that means, you know, do what you can to help other people. So I'm going to save, I'm going to earn, I'm going to save, I'm going to give. Because that's good advice. And that's where Jesus says, you know what? I've given you this, give some away. It will do you good. You will feel amazing. And at first you'll be like, I don't know. And you'll start to stress. You'll be like, but what if I give it away, then I'm not going to have it. And what if I don't have enough? And he says, don't worry. Don't get stressed out because then you start on the stress spiral again. I'm not getting on the floor more than one time. It's just that one time. Look at 34. He says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. See, that means this. Whatever you value most, that is what you will be devoted to. Right? I could put a lot of value in my car. But if I do that, that's what I'm devoted to. I spend all of my extra time fussing with my car. I am so angry if someone bumps it or nicks it. Whatever I put value on, that's what I'm devoted to. What if you put value here? What if you put the most value here? Then what are you going to be devoted to? Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And take a look at your life this week and say, where am I placing my value? Am I placing my value on my stuff? Or am I placing my value, like he'll say, in your account in heaven? So he says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourself be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. And blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known that the hour that the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Jesus says to them, gird up your loins. So in case you don't know what that means, let me just paint you a really quick picture. At this time, they were wearing robes, right? You've probably seen Bible pictures. They've got robes on. And that was just for like general walking around, right? But if they were going to do some work or if they were going to have to run, they would grab up their robe and they would pull it up and they would tuck it into their belt. So it would look like they had like, you know, MC Hammer pants on. So they like these, you know, puffy legs, and then they could run, they could work, they could do whatever. They could serve in this case. So he says it was a sign of saying, I'm ready to work. I'm not just walking around in my robe. I'm ready to work. So when you see the Bible say, gird up your loins, it's saying, be ready to work. Get ready to do something, not just walk around and be. And so he's saying that, gird up your waist, be girded, and your lamps be burning. Be ready. And so he's talking about when the servants were waiting for the master of the house to come home. They were ready. They weren't exactly sure. Remember, it says maybe it's the first watch, maybe it's the second watch, maybe it's the third watch. They didn't know. But they were preparing for the master of the house to come at any time, ready. He is alluding to, and he says it actually right at the end, you do not know when the Son of Man is going to come back. We do not know when Jesus will come back. But what he says is, gird up your loins, be ready to work, so that when he comes, he finds you ready. What he's saying is, instead of being so consumed with your stuff and the cares and the things that go along with this world right here, be prepared because he could come back. Be working towards his return. Be waiting for and prepared for Jesus to show up because he could come at any time. How many of you, if you knew, if I was to say, oh, I got a special message from God, it's coming back on Friday. Jesus, first of all, you would need to run away from me because I would be a heretic because nobody knows that. But let's just suspend that for a moment. And I was able to tell you on Friday, Jesus is coming back. What would you do different? Would you live different these next few days? See, some people will say, yes, I would, you know, and I wouldn't be worried about any of this. If you could bang into my car, you could take my big TV, you could do any of those things. You could fire me from my job. I wouldn't care because then I would be full on. Jesus talking to people, telling them all about it. I would be full about that. If I knew that he was coming back on Friday, I would be all about that. And who cares what this world would do to me? Some of you might say, great, I can live like the devil for like 6 days and then just repent on that seventh day. So when he comes back, I'm set, I'm good. So I can get all this, do all the terrible stuff that I always wanted to do but knew I shouldn't do because I knew I could repent. I hope you don't do that. I hope you don't do that. So we don't know. You're saying if I knew he was going to come back on Friday, then, oh, man, I would be all about him. I wouldn't worry about stuff. I wouldn't worry. I wouldn't worry about how to pay for college tuition coming up. I wouldn't worry about that. I'd be like, ah, so we're all going to be gone by that time. I certainly wouldn't pay my mortgage payment. Not going to do that. I just wouldn't worry. Right? Are you with me? If you knew he was coming back on Friday, would you just stop worrying about stuff? Jesus says, you don't know. Guess what? Could be Friday. Could be Friday. Could be this afternoon. We don't know. We don't know. He's giving us all this. He's like, I love you so much and I will take care of you. Please don't worry. Don't put your value in stuff that you have. Don't be consumed with the things that you see around you that are taking up all the space in your life. But seek first in everything that you do the kingdom of heaven, and I will take care of all the other stuff. Paul reiterates this in his letter to the Philippians. He says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And in verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It says, don't worry. Come to me with everything in prayer and in thanksgiving, and I will give you a peace that the world does not understand. And people will say, what, aren't you worried about how to pay college tuition? Can I honestly tell you? No, I'm not. Do I think that Jesus will come back before my kids go to college? Deep down, I really don't think that's going to happen. I think I'm going to have to pay college tuition. I'm not worried about it. Am I worried about getting let go from my job? Am I worried about the signs of the economy that look like it's not going to be great coming up? I'm not worried about it. Because I know that God has a plan, and I know that I'm a part of it, and I trust him. Now, look, there are times that I get stressed. I'm not going to lie. There are times when I get stressed, but you know what? They're really short. Because I sit there, and it's just like the thing with the dent on my car, and God says, but what is that? In my plan, what is that? It's nothing. It's nothing. Don't worry, he says. He says, look at this. This is interesting, this last part. He says, but if the master of the house knew that the thief was going to come, he would watch and not allow his house to be broken into. So if you knew, again, if you knew that your house was going to be broken into, you would take steps and measures to protect yourself. If that's too big of a concept, here's an illustration for you. Did you ever see Home Alone? He knew that his house was going to get broken into. He had little Christmas ornaments on the floor and falling buckets and slippery stuff and spiders and all this stuff. He prepared. He was prepared. Right? This is what he's saying. It's the same thing that we just said. If you knew he was coming back, you'd be prepared. Well, we know he's coming back. Amen? We know he's coming back. He says it. He promises it. He just didn't say it's going to be Friday. Could be Friday. But we don't know. So we are to be ready. We are to be girded up, ready to get out there, ready to work, not consumed with, what am I going to do with all this stuff? Where am I going to store this stuff? What if I don't have stuff? What if I don't have enough stuff? I need more stuff. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough influence. I don't have enough friends. I don't have enough whatever. Then maybe you don't have enough faith. Isn't that kind of what God is saying? Oh, you of little faith. Right? Just give it over to God. I want to be different. I want to be different than the world. I want to be able to say, look, I have the same struggles that you have, but I don't have the same worries that you have. Because I serve a God who's bigger than all of this. And guess what? So can you. So can you. I don't own the rights to God. Try it this week. If when you find yourself in that place where you're like, you know yourself, you know what it starts to feel when you start to get stressed about something and, you know, maybe your head starts to sweat or you get jitters or you start to get really short with the people around you or whatever your tell is. Whenever you start to feel like I'm getting stressed, just take a step back and be like, put your priority on the kingdom of heaven and see what happens. You know, I love that song that says, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, right? You start to get overwhelmed and wonder, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How's this going to work out? Okay. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, I know that many of us are going to walk out of here today struggling with this concept of not worrying, not being anxious, not being divided. I know. Because probably sometime this afternoon, something's going to happen that's going to stress us out or make us worry, Lord. But I pray that in that moment, this message would come rushing back to each one of us. And we would hear your voice. We would sense the presence of the Holy Spirit saying, bring it all to me, and I will give you a calm, a peace that you may not even understand. Lord, it is that witness in our life when we are faced with the same obstacle that our peers are struggling with, but yet we remain calm because we trust God. Lord, that's a witness that is amazing, that we can say, you know what, let me introduce you to somebody who can help you with your stress. His name is Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word, because this isn't something that we have to try and figure out, Lord, but that you've told it all to us. We need only accept it. We need only to embrace it, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 You know, maybe you've got something going on right now in your life, and you're like, I want to not worry. I don't know how to let it go. I don't know how to do that. We'll pray with you. We'll come up after this last song, and we'll be up here and here, and we'll pray with you, and we'll pray that God can reach in and help you to just release that to him. You know, I think part of it really, when it comes down to it, is like you're thinking, well, if I'm not doing this, if I'm not doing that, if I'm not doing this, somebody might look into my life and say, oh, that guy's just lazy, or you're irresponsible, or what do you mean you're putting all of this, you know, all of your future into the hands of a God that you can't see or doesn't really know exists? I think there's something to that. Get past that. You know who God is. He knows who you are. Embrace that. He says, little flock, I am your shepherd. But if you need prayer on this, and that's okay, if you need prayer to get over this, I want you to come up after this song and pray with our folks who are going to be up here, and pray that God would help you to let that go and not be consumed by stress, because you're going to find yourself on the floor with a bunch of people looking at you. Yes. Amen. Don't run away. Stick around and fellowship with us. We're going to be out here in the Welcome Center. If you don't have to go right away, stick around, say hello. If you're new, introduce yourself to somebody. If you're not new and you see someone who's new, introduce yourself to them. That's how that works. And be blessed.
Hi, this is Pastor Aaron, and I hope you enjoyed this week's sermon. I pray that the Holy Spirit use this message to touch your heart and bring you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you don't already have a regular church home, please consider joining us as we simply teach the Bible simply each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We're located at 3285 Pine Ridge Road in Naples, Florida. You can also find us online at ccnaples.org, where we have links to past messages and more information about Calvary Chapel Naples.